All right, Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 5. Let's just read those. Now, there's a lot more that we could add to what I want to say this morning, but let's just read those. Matthew 24, verses 3 through 5. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Well, it'd be nice if we just knew exactly what was going to happen. Then we could just wait until the last minute and then get ready, right? Jesus ain't going to fix it so we can think like that. And Jesus answered and said unto them, now you expect him to give them the answer they want? The first thing he says is, take heed that no man deceive you. That's the most important thing right there. If you've got any concern at all in you about the end of time and the world coming to an end, Jesus coming for the church, or your own death and departing from this world, if you've got any concern about that at all, you ought to take Jesus' words to heart. Take heed, lest any man deceive you, that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And I've said for years, you know, you need to learn to understand that properly too. Jesus didn't say there's going to be all kinds of people coming in the last days saying that they're the Christ. They're the Christ. That ain't what he said. He said there's going to be a lot of people coming saying that I am the Christ. They're going to deceive you. They're not going to deceive you by saying they're the Christ. How many of you sees these long-haired, long-bearded wackos that thinks they're Jesus and you believe them? I met one of them on the mall at Washington. He was laying on the sewer drain. And he told me that he was Jesus Christ. I didn't believe him. Yeah. Or maybe, let's see, maybe he said Jesus sent him here to get the world ready for Jesus coming or something. But, you know, he's a nut. You know, we don't believe that stuff. That's not how we're deceived. Where we're deceived is by somebody who says Jesus is the Lord and Jesus is the Christ. Now, I'm going to try to hurry because I've got some things to say, and then I want to get the final thing I want to say to you and leave in your mind and heart, and then I want to be done. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus, for warning us. We have no excuse. We'll stand before you without excuse if we do not heed your words. And Lord, examine ourselves. And if we don't take this thing seriously, I pray you'd help us this morning. Spirit of God, please speak to hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the outstanding things about the last days will be the deception of many people. And I can look around me and I can see. I look around me and I see so many people deceived. They're believing a lie. So how do you know? Because I read the Bible. Because I know what's true concerning the things of God and righteousness. And they're not conformed to it. They don't believe it. They don't live according to it. They pay no attention to it. They have contempt and disdain for it. So they're deceived. This book is what we got to go on. Not my opinion. This ain't my opinion. I can read the book and I know what's right. And I know, I can read the book and I know what's wrong. And if you're walking in darkness, you're deceived if you think you're in light. If you think you're saved on your way to heaven and you're walking in darkness, the Bible says you're deceived. You're deceived. And that's what we're talking about here this morning. Jesus said the main thing you got to be concerned about, we want to know when to expect you. How do we know that the end is near? And Jesus said, here's the first concern. You're going to be lied to. It's going to be easy for you to be deceived and believe a lie and lose your soul and end up in hell forever and miss the whole thing. So that's the thing that he warned us about, that there'll be, that most people will be deceived about their condition and their standing with God in the last days before he comes. That's the first warning. He said, don't be among the crowd that's been lied to, believed it. Deceive means to mislead the mind, to cause to err, to cause to believe what is false or disbelieve what is true. Now, do you see anybody doing that? Are you doing that? Are you doing that this morning? Are you believing stuff that's not true and you calling it true? Are you refusing to believe the stuff that is true? You're deceived if you are. You got to believe the truth. You got to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now that ought to be the concern of your life, to seek the truth, to seek to know what's true, and to get it from the right source. And to be careful about who you allow to influence and guide you to that source. The devil is a master deceiver. That's what his expertise is. That's where it lies. He is the father of lies. Jesus said, and he is the master of it. He's a liar. Get it? The devil is a liar. He's a deceiver, and he can deceive you. He can lie to you and make you believe it. Make you believe that a lie is the truth. Now think about how absurd that is. Think about how foolish it is for us to fall for that. You resist it in every other area of your life. When people are trying to sell you stuff, I mean, you resist, don't you? What do you do when a telemarketer calls? I've got 2 or 3 calls in the last couple of weeks here. And the first thing it is some woman says, "Hi, my name's Katie. Please listen for a minute and I'll tell you how to have $10,000 a month coming into your account within the next 14 days. Do I say, "Wow, this is what I've been waiting for all my life. Tell me more, tell me more." You know what I do? Hang up. Because it's a lie. I resist liars in things that are going to affect my life. But when it comes to my soul, man, what do? Do you just believe anything? Do you listen to anything? Do you listen to the enemy of God as he explains to you and sweet talks you and lies to you into this compromising deal that's going around? No, you do. That's what happens. You know, when we resist other things where people are trying to sell us or convince us. You know, how many of you have ever got an email from somebody in Nigeria? Yeah, hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of them, promising you if you'll just send an email back to them, they're wanting to put millions and hundreds of millions sometimes of dollars in your bank account if you'll just let them use your bank account to transfer this money from their poor lost king husband who died of cancer, and you know. And they're real sharp at it. Now they're doing it. They call themselves Christians. They call you brother and, you know, Brother Mike. And, you know, they're slick. But it's easy to see through it. Can't you get it where it's easy to see through the devil lying to you? You better. The devil's a liar. Apparently the greatest danger that we're going to face in the last days is being deceived, according to Jesus. Truth's falling in the streets, and to stand for the truth and to stand with the truth is going to cost you. And you'll be ostracized, put out, set apart from the majority of people. You'll be an outsider. You won't be an insider. You'll be the guy out, not the guy in. Everybody's going to look at you as the oddball, as the quack. And that's what the world's all set up to do, isn't it? I mean, have you heard the last thing they've come out with here a few months ago about some woman said, it's one thing to talk to Jesus, but if Jesus is talking to you, you got a mental illness. You hear that? That's one of them smart women on The View. Is that where it come from? Yeah. But that's the attitude of just about everybody. You'd be amazed that the people that sit in church think that. Listening, the pressure will cause many to be deceived. The pressure, just that pressure of not wanting to be the oddball, wanting to be accepted, wanting to be respected, wanting to be looked upon by the world and your worldly friends and neighbors as good folks. I mean, reasonable folks. You want to... And that'll put the pressure on you to believe a lie. How are people deceived? How does it happen? Well, first of all, listening to the vain words of others. You know what vain means? Worthless. Worthless. Empty. Meaningless. No value. Listening to the vain words of others. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Why does the wrath of God come? Because people are deceived by the vain words of wicked men. Do you listen to them? I can't stand to listen to the news on the radio. Any of these Fox News, any of them, all of them's the same. They got four or five people just all talking at once and arguing and saying nothing. Every time there's an election, every time there's some tragedy, some big event in the world, they get on there and they just talk. Vain words. You could say in two sentences all that needs to be said. And they'll go for hours on end just hashing it over and over. What in the world is the matter of people that can sit and listen to that nonsense? It's entertainment for your mind. Listening to vain words. Listening to friends and people you work with and run around with that don't have nothing of value to say. Nothing that has any lasting value. Vain words. There's words we use and phrases we use for that kind of talk, but it's nothing. It's just sitting around talking nonsense. Vain words. You know what that'll do to you? That'll cause you to be deceived in your soul. You'll pick out enough of that vanity and stuff, and that'll become your foundation for what you believe. A bunch of vain, empty, no foundation, no source really, just vain talk. Evolution is one of those things. See, there's no foundation at all. It's vain. It's empty. There's nothing to prove it. Nothing for it to be founded on. And yet it's now accepted as an absolute fact. When I was a kid, it was the theory of evolution. Now it's not a theory. It's a fact. They talk about it as if it's a fact. And it's not a fact. But people have been deceived into believing a lie about that. All right? It works the same way with the things of God. Are you hearing me? When it comes to sin in our lives, when it comes to obeying the truth, knowing what's right and wrong, when it comes to walking with God and serving God and living for God, same way. Some people think that it don't make no difference. You can just be as profane and filthy as the lowest life person out there, and you're still as good as anybody else. You're still walking with God as anybody else. God loves you the same as anybody else. You can talk to God. You can pray to God. God looks on you and God will do whatever for you just like He does everybody else. No. Where'd you believe that stuff? Where'd you hear that from? It makes a difference. I can show you all over the Bible about how God hears prayers and answers prayers and who He listens to. You turn away your ear from hearing the word of God, and the Bible says He will not hear your prayer. He ain't listening to you. You won't listen to Him. He won't listen to you. But see, people don't believe that anymore because they're deceived about things like that. They think God will just hear you anytime you want to call on Him, anytime you want to say anything to Him, give Him a thumbs up. He's all ears for you. Not true. Vain, empty, worthless, having no substance. That's what it means. Value or importance. Light talk. Some people can't talk serious. They can't have a serious conversation. They can't listen. You know, it's always got to be light. I saw the preacher the other night and that's what I told him. I said, sometimes I just feel, you know, because I just hammer so hard all the time and I just drive it so deep all the time. And he said, well, that's the way I've felt for years. But he said, you know, I've told the people over and over, I've never saw where Jesus preached a light message. Never saw where Jesus cracked a joke to lighten up the atmosphere so everybody could ease off a little bit, you know, let some of the pressure off. Never saw that. I never have either. Nope, never have either. Jesus was kind, and we ought to be kind. But he was hard pressing. I mean, the whole multitude turned around and walked off one day and said, this is too hard. This is too hard of a saying. And he turned to the 12 and said, will you also go away? I mean, he made it that hard. And it was hard for them to swallow. But it's the truth, and Jesus wasn't going to change the truth. Your mind is stupefied and numb by listening to the light talk of others that has no value and no substance and no importance. Do you realize that? I mean, your mind just gets in this attitude of lightness and shallowness and nothing really. And you won't let nothing heavy affect you. You won't let anything pierce any deeper than just skin deep. You stop everything at the door. And you won't allow no deep pondering of truths and facts in your soul. You just want to laugh it off. Just want to keep it light. Just want to, let's all be happy and let's all love one another and let's all just worship and sing together and pretend everything's okay. And that we're all going to go to heaven one day and we're all going to be happy together in heaven one day. Let's believe that lie so we can go home and not worry about anything. Well, I know from, you know, I can remember a little bit going to church when I was a kid sometimes, and I don't remember it being like that at all. I remember going to church and getting scared to death. Yeah. Scared to death that I was going to end up in hell. Boy, people don't get that way now, do they? It's because of the deception of our day. All entertainment is vain talk. And simply put your mind in neutral so you can be reprogrammed. Deceived is another word for that. Practically all that's on TV and on the media is vain talk. Ain't it?
Yes.
And that's to deceive. That's what the Bible says there. Let no man deceive you with vain words. So if you don't, if you're going to obey the Bible, you shouldn't listen to that junk. You shouldn't listen to these worldly philosophers and teachers and experts explain things to you and fill your mind with foolishness and false information. Let no man deceive you with vain words. What do I care about their opinions when they believe they're a monkey? Just about any modern Christian literature is vain talk. That's right. That's why I was saying about the tracks. You know, it's just hard to find tracks that are even acceptable at all to pass out to people. Because they're vain words. They miss the mark. They don't convey what needs to be conveyed to lost people out there. And in fact, most of them are promoting, are really conveying deceitful things to people. And causing people to believe things that's going to damn their soul. And I don't want to have no part in passing out something like that. Just about all Christian radio and TV is vain talk. I don't watch it. I mean, the only time I ever see it is if we're in a waiting room or a motel or something like that. Sometimes we see some of that stuff. And it's amazing to me. You know, I seen this week, I was watching a deal the other day, and some Christian guy was taking apart this preacher down in Louisiana. What's his name? The one wanting the jet. Can't remember his name. But he's wanting $54 million to buy a new jet. He's had two already. He's burned up, or three. Three, I think. Three. He's had three so far. He's worn out, and he needs a new one. But anyway, you know, what do these guys do? I remember years ago, Jerry Falwell had the good, the old-time gospel hour on Sunday morning. Come on at 7:30, I believe it was, and went till 8 o'clock. And we'd watch that, and I timed it and watched. And from 7:30 till 10 till 8, he was asking for money and help. And join this club and join that club, and we need money for this, and we're doing this, and we need money for that. And then the last 10 minutes, he'd give a little short sermonette message in the scripture, and that was it. Vain talk. Vain talk. That's what it is. It'll deceive you. You understand what I'm trying to get to you? I'm trying to make you understand that you will believe a lie listening to that kind of stuff. You want to listen to preaching, listen to some preaching that's going to hoe your corn. I mean, listen to something that's going to speak to your soul. Listen to preaching where somebody's going to deal with you deeply. Don't listen to vain words. Do you ever hear preachers on the radio and stuff and they can't say two words without saying hallelujah, praise God? There was a guy on the radio here, and I don't know whatever happened to him, but in 30 seconds, I was just going nuts. Turn it off! Because it was like he would go do like this. And as he said upon the mount, hallelujah, praise God of all us, praise God, hallelujah. The disciples, hallelujah, came in to him privately, hallelujah, praise God. He was doing it, wasn't he? Just like that. That is vain words. Ain't no way you can say talk like that if you got anything to say. You ain't got time to cram all that in. I tell you every time I'm going to be short, and then I preach an hour every time. And I know it's hard to sit there and listen for an hour, but man, I don't fill it with words like that. I'm just saying that's the kind of preaching that'll deceive you. You'll end up deceived and burning in hell. It's so important. Vain words. Just about all the Christian radio and TV is vain talk. It deceives. And while you listen to this, you put less importance on serious spiritual things. You're deceived. That's why it's hard to get people into church like this. They don't want to hear this. There's something a lot easier to listen to out there. There's many churches everywhere to go to where it's easier. You can just slide in, sit in the pew, enjoy the singing, and stomp your foot, and everybody will bless you to death, and then you can leave and feeling good. But you ain't going to be feeling good when the flames of hell are singeing your hair. And you're begging for a drop of water to cool your tongue. And that's exactly what's going to happen. And Jesus himself gave that first warning about this. Don't be deceived. You better seek the truth. You better look for people who believe the truth, who live the truth, who will tell you the truth. You ain't going to go to no doctor that's going to lie to you, are you? You got cancer, you got some serious problem with you, you ain't going to put up with no doctor that'll just lie to you and tell you everything's okay, everything, you're good, you're healthy. I know it hurts, I know everything, your legs are rotting off of you, but you're okay, it'll be okay, praise God. No, you ain't going to put up with that. You're going to look for somebody that'll tell you the truth. What about your soul and your spiritual condition? Why don't you do this? Why don't you take the same seriousness about that? Listening to the good words and fair speeches of others will deceive you. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now if the church would have obeyed that, we wouldn't have the mess and the apostasy that we have now. But instead, they didn't. Now the church is filled with apostasy. Mark them and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You see? Deceive. You begin to get give this admiration and respect that should go to God to those who are doing the talking. Their good words and fair speeches win your heart. And you're deceived into thinking you can substitute these for loving and serving God. There's a lot of churches that worship the preacher, or preachers that come in, they worship the clergy, not God. And why do they do that? Because these smooth talkers will always turn your heart against the people of God too. And that's a mark of a deceiver. Or of one who is deceived. He's going to turn you away from God's people. He's going to have a bad attitude. He's going to have a bad tongue to talk about him. He's deceived. People deceive themselves. Their heart is so willing and ready to be deceived that they'll do it themselves if someone else isn't there to do it for them. If a person is wise, appears to be wise, or thinks he knows more than others about this world and its affairs, he's deceived himself. Here's a verse. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And let no man deceive himself, the verse before. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. So if a person thinks himself to be something when he's not, he's deceived himself. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3. And if a person cannot bridle their tongue, they have deceived themselves about their soul, and their religion is worthless. James chapter 1 and verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious, and there's a lot of people fit that term, isn't there? There's a lot of people seem to be religious. Yeah. They're in church this morning, but boy, they can't bridle their tongue. And it says, and bridleth not his tongue. Seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. You can't control your tongue. And that goes for more than just this tongue. You know, nowadays we talk with our thumbs, don't we? Yeah. Yeah, you know. I see it all the time. I see profanity on there from people who, and you might as well say it with your tongue if you're going to put it out there for who knows how many's going to see it. I see preachers doing it. I see others doing it. They sit in a church pew and claim to be Christians. Right? They're not bridling their tongue. Now, what does it say right there? What does it say? If you don't bridle your tongue, your religion's vain. You're deceived. You're deceived. It says right there. But deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. There's going to be some things about you, if you're real, and if you're not deceived, if you know the truth, and you're walking in the truth, there's going to be some things about you that other people can identify, and that the preacher can stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, and be right when he says it. It ain't my opinion. This right and wrong, good and evil, is not profane, and you know, the difference between profane and holy is not a matter of opinion. You got no right to say what is profane is okay. And you got no right to say what's holy is the same as profane. There's a difference between the clean and the unclean, between the holy and the profane. And righteous people who know the truth and walk in it know the difference, and they care. And they make a difference. And the people who are deceived about it do not. They don't make no difference about it. It's a mark of being deceived. So, examine yourself this morning. Do you make any difference about it? Do you make a difference in profane and holy? Does it matter what comes out of your mouth? What you type with your thumbs? What you put out there and share for everybody to see? Men are deceived because they love unrighteousness. For 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11 and 12, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. Did you hear that? Who's going to send it to you? You really want that? You really want God to just draw back and say, get him, devil. Tell him lies. Watch him believe them. That they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. If you love the things of the world, you've been deceived. I mean, one of the first things that I remember when I got right with God and my heart surrendered to God, when the Lord saved my soul, first things I remember is how the world just lost its appeal to me. I've never gotten it back. Now, what about you? Do you still see the glitter? Does the world still call you? Do you still yearn after things that the world has here? Do you think life and it's the meaning of life is enjoying this present evil world? Or do you look for a city like these people talked about in the Bible in Hebrews chapter 11? They looked for a city. They all confessed and made known that they were just strangers and pilgrims here. That this world was not their home. Which crowd do you belong to? Don't be deceived about yourself. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And if any man be a friend of the world, he is an enemy of God. Y'all hear that? It's much more important than that. If you won't accept with your whole heart the truth, then you've been deceived. Then you're the one that Jesus is talking about here in these last days. Have you received it wholeheartedly? Huh? Have you swallowed it all down? Have you cast your lot with God? You know, the queers come out all the time. Have you ever come out? Have you ever come out? Listen to me. Don't listen to that. Have you ever come out from among them and been separate, saith the Lord? Has there ever been one of the guys we read in the devotions or have read in the past, he talks about a white funeral where the old man was buried. Have you ever had one? Has there ever been a day in your life when you were born again? And the lights came on in your soul, and you turned your back on the world, and you sang, I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. Have you ever? Are you still just listening to both sides? You still trying to play it both ways? You still trying to have the best of both worlds? You still just saying, well, I ain't made up my mind yet. Yes, you have. If you even begin to think that people who live in sin are going to heaven, you've been deceived. You hear me? You ain't going to hear that in no Baptist church nowhere this morning that I know of. Now, if you do, they're going to be few and far between because they do not believe that. And in my opinion, they're deceived because I know what the Bible says. And it says it absolutely that way. Let little children, let no man deceive you. He that is righteous doeth righteousness, even as he is righteous. I mean, you're not going to be living in sin and on your way to heaven. No way. I don't care what they say. We're all sinners. They jump out and attack you in a heartbeat. They're deceived. If you even begin to think that you can live in sin, or anybody can, and go to heaven, you're deceived. You do not understand it. You don't understand what the truth of the matter is. You don't understand the gospel. You don't understand why Jesus came to this world and why God sent his son to this world. You don't even understand. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. You hear that? He that committeth sin is of the devil. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now that's the Bible, New Testament. That ain't Mike Miller's opinion. That ain't some theology. That is 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. I'm reading here. He that committeth sin, that means he that lives in habitual sin, is of the devil. It don't matter if he's a preacher in a pulpit. It don't matter if he's a deacon sitting in the pew. It don't matter if he's a missionary on the field. It don't matter what position he holds or what he professes or claims. If he lives in continual habitual sin, he's of the devil. He's deceived. So if you even begin to think that your sin don't matter, or that you're as good as anybody else, or that God will overlook it some way, you are deceived in your soul. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Wow. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest. You getting this? Same verses I'm talking. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. This is how, you understand what he's saying? This is how you know the difference. between the children of God and the children of the devil. The Bible's telling you crystal clearly how you know the difference. Are you ready? In this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So if you got a bad attitude toward the people of God, the people who do righteousness, and if you will not do right yourself, you are not of God. No matter how many times you've been baptized, no matter what kind of church you go to, don't matter how many professions of faith you've made, if you will not do right, you're lost. You're deceived. Because I guarantee you, you have come up with a wacko, twisted way in your mind of justifying yourself. And you think you're entertaining this dream in your mind, this fantasy that somehow it's going to be okay. I'll get by. You think that you're going to stand before God and you're going to point fingers at everybody else and God's going to say, well, okay, I understand that's that. No. Jesus said 2,000 years ago, take heed that no man deceive you. And you didn't listen. It's on you. All of us, it's on every one of our heads. You believe a lie, you're going to pay for it. You ain't going to point fingers at somebody else and blame them and then get out of it somehow. No, you're not going to plead, well, I couldn't help it. They told me a lie. No, no. We're being warned. Jesus, I wanted to look it up in Matthew 24. How many times he said about this being deceived? Don't let nobody deceive you. Don't let nobody deceive you. Be careful. Be careful. In the last days, that's going to be the danger. You're going to believe a lie. Marks of a deceived person. This is how you know. They're absolutely sure they're right. And they won't even consider examining themselves to see if they be in the faith. That's a mark of somebody who's deceived. All of us ought to be willing all the time to examine what we believe. Shouldn't be nothing that's off the table. We ought to be willing to examine. See. Examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. The Bible commands it. All of us ought to be willing to back up and look in the mirror and say, now really, am I really obeying the truth? Is my heart really grounded in what's true? Lord, search me and try me and know my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. That ought to be our attitude. That ought to be our prayer. That ought to be our willingness in the way we do. We ought to be willing to look, not resisting. Don't you? I don't want to hear it. He's trying to make me think, trying to make me doubt my salvation. That's, if I can make you doubt it, you ain't got it. I can't even make you examine it. I can't even convince you to back up and think about it. And if I can make you doubt it, you better hit the altar this morning. Their reasons, their arguments, and their opinions are not based soundly on the Scriptures, but on their feelings and experiences or the opinions and experiences of other people. That's what they base their eternity on. They've believed some wise, worldly wise guy. You sure he told you the truth? They will take the side of sin and sinners against the righteous. That is a mark of a deceived person. I know tons of preachers that'll do that every time. Every time. I've tried them and tested them and they do it. They'll jump to the defense of sinners. Buddy, Lord have mercy. I don't think that anybody, including myself, has even fathoms what it's going to be like when we stand before God at the great white throne judgment. We're all going to just be so speechless and flabbergasted because of the people we thought they seemed to be religious. Their ear and their heart is not tuned to the truth. They have no interest in it. And it has no effect on them except to make them angry when it's forced upon them. I saw Mike the other day, and he said he preached down to Breadshed, and he said there's four or five people got up and walked out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a mark of a deceived person. You can't accept the truth. You don't love the truth. You hate it. And when somebody forces it on you, you rise up against it. They're more in tune with the world than with God's Word. Their opinions and their pleasures and their attention is more on the world and with the world than on God and His Word and eternity. And coming and sitting in church for an hour is just about all they can bear. Can't understand it. Got to get back out there where we can get that music going, man. Get them pictures coming. Get my mind off of this and on to things I love. Mark of a deceived person. They're more in fellowship with the world's crowd than they are with God's people. And you better believe that. That'd be obvious. You can get along with everybody but the people that walk and live holy. If you talk to them, they have nothing but criticism and degrading remarks for God's people and nothing but praise for the worldly crowd. These people are deceived. Now, to be deceived about your soul is a very costly thing. Now, I want you to listen to me just for a few minutes here, and we'll be done. But this is the main thing about this. To be deceived, yeah. You just need to know this morning what it's going to cost you. Are you so sure that you're correct in your thinking and beliefs and philosophy that you're willing to face God with it? Are you? Are you willing to face God, you, with your arrogant, know-it-all attitude? With your certainty that you're right. Your trust in some religious thing you went through. Whether it's a profession of faith, some people trust in their baptism, some people trust in their catechisms and all that junk. And they live their life resting on that. Now, what I want to try to do for you this morning is get you to wake up and realize this is a reality that we're going to face God. Maybe you don't think that'll ever happen. Maybe you never think about it. That's what most people do. They ignore it like they do death. It's just like it's never going to happen to me. And then all of a sudden one day, just like that, you're through the door, through the valley. It is going to happen. I want to remind you that multitudes of men and women who were much more intelligent and educated and enlightened and with much more means to everything than you or me this morning have believed and lived their lives believing there's a time when we're going to face God. They believed that we will stand before God and give account of ourselves. Just think about that now. Are you the smartest person that's ever lived? Are you the most enlightened person that's ever lived? Well, are you the most informed person who's ever lived? Oh, my. Well informed with lies. Just think about it. Think about the people through history that were way more intellectual, way more intelligent, way more informed than you. You think your opinion is more valid than theirs? That we will face God someday? We need to be put in the right place. We need to look at ourselves like we really are. I mean, ain't none of us here. I don't think anybody here's been to college, have they? A little bit, maybe. Yeah, some. I mean, none of us here are really what society considers and the world considers is the upper crust, are we? Not even in any area, education, finances, anything. None of us are highly esteemed in the world. So why would we sit here in the pew and think that we're smarter than everybody who ever lived, who believed that there was a God in heaven and that we were going to face Him someday? Think about how haughty and proud and foolish that would be of you to sit there this morning and think that way. Now what you ought to do is get a hold of yourself and realize that someday your pitiful self is going to stand naked before God. And all that you have is going to just fly away like a vapor. And you're going to have nothing. You rejected the truth and believed lies. So you're going to be standing there with nothing to say. How could you possibly defend yourself? When God opens the books and everything you ever did is recorded and unveiled in front of everybody. You need to think about it. That's a sobering thing. That's the cost of being deceived. If you're so sure that you're right to resist God's ways and separate yourself from people who do follow God's ways, then you need to be advised about the consequences if you're wrong. And you're wrong. First of all, it means that you're headed for hell. Do you understand? Do you really realize that? See, you say, I don't believe in hell. That doesn't change one fact. I read last night, Tozer said that if all the world turned to be atheist, it would not change God one bit. Because our believing in Him doesn't add to Him. Our rejecting and disbelieving in Him does not take away from Him. God exists, and it's a fact, and whether you believe it or not in your pitiful little mind, it's still the same. There's a hell. Well, I read here, talking about the kingdom of God, I read to you a couple of weeks ago where Jesus said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The Bible's full of it. Jesus talked in Luke chapter 16 about the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Now, you don't do that in the grave. You smart intellectual people that believe that. Hell is not the grave. The grave is not full of fire. And the grave, you don't cry out for a drop of water in a grave. But in hell, you do. And you don't say in the grave, I'm tormented in these flames. But in hell, you do. That's the cost of being deceived. That's the cost of fooling around. That's the cost of being lighthearted and frivolous and shallow about everything. You end up in hell. Hell where the fire is not quenched and their worm dieth not. Forever and forever and forever. Say, man, I just can't believe that. That's too bad. That's because you just don't understand how bad sin is. And you don't understand how bad it is what you're doing in rejecting God and the truth today. While it's being presented to you. It means that while you are deceived, you're deceiving others also, and they'll be lost because of you. One of the torments of hell will be the souls that are there that you know are there because of you, or that you had a big part in. Which missionary was it? Was it Adoniram Judson? Had the friend, remember? While Adoniram Judson's parents were holy living people and they raised him right, and he went astray and he lived wicked, and he had a friend in college, and the friend was really seeking God, and Adoniram Judson, he railed on him and mocked him and made fun of him until the boy gave up. Then later Adoniram Judson got right with God and got saved. And he went and tried to convince that boy to not believe what he'd said before, and he couldn't. And he went to a motel one night and was staying in this hotel, and he heard this awful, monstrous groaning and crying and screaming and terrifying thing going on, this man in the next room. You know what it turned out to be? It was that friend of his died. That he had convinced that all this was a bunch of foolishness. What are you going to do at the great white throne judgment when they throw somebody off, when they cast them into the lake of fire in sight of everybody? And you know that it was partly your fault. It means that while you're deceiving others. And it means one day you'll be looking at your loved ones for the last time as you're cast into the lake of fire forever. Now, I believe that it's going to be that way. The great white throne judgment is the most horrible thing in the Bible. Everybody is there. All the dead. Everybody is there. Saved and lost, we're there. Everybody who ever drew a breath on this earth is there. Heaven and earth are fled away, and there's found no place for them, and there's a great white throne. And God, Christ, is on the throne. And the books are opened. And all the men, all the people are judged out of the things that are written in the books. And if your name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire in the sight of everybody. You say, boy, I just don't believe it would be that way. Now, that's too rough. Well, just a few verses after this is where God wipes away the tears. Because parents are going to see their children. What's it going to be like when you look the last time on your face and you know what's fixing to happen? And it's forever this time. Forever. This is the cost of being deceived. You don't have to be. Man, you can know the truth, believe the truth. It'll make you free. You can have a home in heaven for sure. You can know that when that day comes, you're not going to be cast into the lake of fire. You can know and not be deceived about it. You'll see their faces as they weep, as you're forever separated from them. That's in the end of Revelation chapter 20. And in the beginning of 21, it says in verse 4 that God wiped away. Let me read it to you. Well, wait a minute. He said God will wipe away the tears. I want to say one more thing first. It means that your eyes will never see what God has prepared for those that love Him. Your feet will never set foot in heaven, and you'll never hear the singing. You'll never smell the fragrance that's there. You'll never know the peace and the rest, and you'll never gaze upon the face of Jesus as He looks upon you in love. Because you believed lies. Because you took it too lightly. Because you listened to vain talk. Because you listened to your own heart. Because you were so engulfed with the chatter of this world that you missed it. You fooled away and lost. Revelation 22. And He shewed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on the other side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. But you'll never see that. You're going to be in a different place. If you fool around and stay deceived, you're going to be in a different place than this. And it's dark there. There's no light there. You don't see nothing. It's outer darkness. There ain't no river. You'll wish that there was just a drip of water somewhere, but there's not. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, but you won't. If you deceived here, you'll never see that. You'll not be a partaker there. One of those songs on that disc is, "The believers are partakers of the benefit." And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets and his angel to shew unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Are you sure that you know the truth and that you're walking in it? Are you sure this morning? Some of you know the truth. You're not walking in it. That means you're deceived. If you walk in darkness. The Bible talks about them that holding the truth in unrighteousness. Mercy. Can't imagine. So much better to just yield and walk in it. Do what's right. Amen. Be eager to serve God. Be eager to come to church. Be eager to say something to somebody. Be eager to find out more about God. Be eager to try to better myself for the service of God. Why would I want to keep anything in my life that'd be a hindrance to me serving God or God being able to use me if I'm walking in the truth? Won't be that way. I didn't have trouble giving up stuff when I got right with God. I wanted to. Lord, show me. I would have done anything because I wanted to be right with God. Where is that desire gone? Where in the world is it? Is there anybody here that wants to be right with God? You want to be able to be in God's presence in rest and comfort instead of always being at odds and living in guilt and condemnation? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, which walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. It means you can live your life clean. You can be happy. You can be right with God. You can come before the throne of grace boldly. You can lay your head down at night and say, well, Lord, if I don't see you in the morning, I'll see you. You can look up at the sky and say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and mean it and desire it instead of with dread and fear. All you got to do is give up the lies, believe the truth, walk in it, give it up. Man, are you sure? Are you willing to stake your eternity on what you believe? You willing to risk it? Well, you know, while you're young, you might be shaking a little bit, but you keep on going like that in the deceit. You're going to get old, and you'll be hardened in it, and you'll lay down and die brazenly with your lies. And it won't be, you won't sober up until you're on the other side of death. And I mean seconds after you draw your last breath, you're going to realize what a fool you was. Are you convinced that you're better, smarter, more enlightened person than all those who've gone before you? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Haggai said in 1 verse 5, consider your ways. The biggest danger to your soul this morning is that you're going to believe lies. You're going to invent your own theology. You're going to invent your own ideas of what's right and wrong for you. That you're going to invent your own truth. Your truth. That's what the world says all the time. This is my truth. Well, that's your truth. No, that ain't no such thing as that. That's lies and deceit. If your truth is your truth, it's a lie. God's truth is the only truth that matters. If you got right with God this morning, what would you have to change in your life? We were talking this morning on the way, you know, somebody that dies, somebody that lives here with a lust for some habit, like drinking, for example. Do you know that in hell, you're going to have that desire, but no way to fulfill it? That's part of the suffering. That's part of the punishment. Here you can satisfy your lust. In hell you can't. But you're still going to have them. You're going to desire. But there's no way to fulfill it. In heaven, our desires are all fulfilled. But they're holy desires. In heaven, we'll be completely satisfied. And the only thing that stops us from being completely satisfied here on earth is because of the evil and the sin that's in the world. You know what my desire this morning is, more than anything else, is to see some of you get right with God. That's what I desire. I'd die for it. I would. If I knew that it would guarantee that you would wake up and really get born again and get right with God, I'd give my life. That's simple. Very easy. Well worth it. But even though some of us willing to do that, we don't get to see it fulfilled. Because we can't, you know, we just can't do that. In heaven, things are all, he said there, behold, I make all things new. All the former things are passed away, and there is no more remembrance of them. They're gone. All things new. See, we're going to start all over. God's going to fix this thing. You say, I don't understand how that could be. I mean, watch your loved ones cast down. No, God's going to fix that. Because the people that really love God understand that God does right. And that there was no other way. That's why we plead and beg and weep and cry and beg while we're here. Get right with God. Give your life to God. Give up your sin. That's what Jesus came to save you from. Let's stand. Let's all stand now. Getting done. We ought to give invitation more often than we do around here. Just need to start doing it. You ought to be more, they ought to be more comfortable coming to the altar around here. I think there's a big block here somehow, a hindrance to it. Let's just sing. Let's sing Just As I Am. We ought to know it by heart. Somebody start. Are you sure you're right this morning? Now, the way it is around here, you know, ain't nobody going to accost you and force you or anything else. Now, I'm just encouraging you this morning, boy, if you ain't right with God, why don't you come to the altar? I mean, won't you come up here and talk to God about it? You don't have to talk to anybody else about it. Better look to the day ahead when all this that we've talked about is going to be reality to you. Do not wait. Don't wait too long. Somebody got up this morning and they won't go to bed tonight. It could be you. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. I remember what it was like to be right with God for the first time. This. Believe, oh Lamb. Would you be like that centurion? He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. He got his prayer answered. Don't look at it, hey, don't look at it like, well, he's just demanding that I agree with him. That ain't what I'm demanding. That ain't what I'm preaching to you at all. But if we believe the same gospel, you're going to find that you agree with me on most things. I don't expect everybody to agree with me on everything. I don't expect my best, closest, most spiritual friends to agree with me on everything. That's not the issue. But if we're going to walk together, we'll walk together in holiness and righteousness. If two can't walk together except they be agreed. You can't walk in darkness and somebody else walk in light and have fellowship together. You can't do that. It's sin that separates us from God, and it's sin that separates us from one another. Amen. I'm telling you, I thought about preaching on children or family this morning. I had another thought about it. I was going to start in a different area there, but I just couldn't. I just couldn't. Really, I felt so bad this morning when I got up. I had a terrible night, and I just didn't feel good at all, and didn't know how I was even going to preach at all. But I tell you, this is for you this morning from the Lord. It's a warning, and it might very well be the final warning. You need to understand how serious that is. We're living in a very volatile world. There's no telling what tomorrow may bring. We're living in a world of our life is in danger every day. You get in that car and take off down the road, man alive. You don't know if you're going to get home or not. And if you knew the odds that were against you, you'd take this more seriously this morning. You ain't got time like you think you got. And it ain't something you can fix in the last minute. Let me just warn you. If you can sit here this morning and you can lock up your little house there in your heart and you can barricade up against everything I've said to you this morning, don't dream and imagine that you're somehow going to get right with God in the last minute in an emergency when you realize you're about to die, and then it ain't going to happen. You're going to fall right into hell. I guarantee you. God spoke to me 1,000 times. He called my name and I would not go. Don't be one of them. Amen. It ain't like you're being invited to a gloom deal or a wake or something real burdensome. Take my yoke upon me, on you, and learn of me. Yeah. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh my. Yeah, I know. We listened to a fellow here a little while back, just a wicked sinner, lost and blind as he can be. But he had the idea that Christian people thought they were better than him. Well, that's a common thing among people that are lost and wicked. And it's not that way at all. You know, the real Christian realizes you know, they're humble. They realize it. But for the grace of God, I'd be in hell right now. And we, it's just like if we'd been in hell, Kim, and come back, like you said. That's what it's like. We've been lost in sin.
Yes.
And we've been delivered, and we're just saying, come on over here. It's so much better over here. I've been where you've been, but you've never been where I am. So come on over. Amen. That's right, Jacob. You know, we need to pray for one another. I remember, you know, one of the things that I remember way back there, I remember looking across the church and seeing an old lady looking at me and crying. You'll always remember something like that. She didn't say a word. Just let me know. You know, that let me know volumes right there. All right, I'll let you go. Everybody come back tonight. Now we're going to have a fellowship after church and everything. Appreciate everybody being here. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate the Lord being here. And the Lord has been here this morning. Don't take it for granted and don't take it lightly. And don't take offense at the Lord speaking to you. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.